We started a story about a sheikh. His name was Shaqiq al-Balkhi, and he had a student by the name of Hatim al-Asam. And Hatim al-Asam had stayed in the company of his sheikh for 30 years. And at the conclusion of 30 years, he asked him that you stayed in my company for 30 years, what have you learned? And he said that there were eight things I learned. I covered two things last time. Anyone remember? I know if you don't even remember what you probably ate yesterday or what I recited in Salat yesterday. This was 2 weeks ago. But anyone remember? So the first one was that everyone has a beloved. And when it comes to every single beloved, we will be separated from our beloved. Hence, you should love that one thing that is going to remain with you for eternity. And what is that one thing that's going to remain with us for eternity? Is our good deeds. Our good deeds are going to stay with us in this dunya. And in the qabr, when our family, our possessions, everything comes back home, the only thing that will remain with us is our good deeds. So hence, you should make the good deeds your beloved. The second thing is that in this dunya, there are so many people who are committing so much aggression, and there are so many people who are following their desires. And I realize that the best person is that person who actually follows taqwa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that anyone who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. What does maqama rabbihi mean? The place of Allah. It means, as many ulama have said, when we stand before Allah on the day of judgment. And we have to answer of everything that we have done. So this is maqama rabbihi. Anyone who realizes that I have to stand before Allah and I have to answer for my actions, if a person has that mindset and that mindfulness, then people will stop doing what they are doing. So these are two things that we covered. The third thing that he mentioned is that people are so obsessed with hoarding this dunya. And this is something that we find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, "Law anna li ibni Adam wadiyan min dhahabin, ahabba an yakuna lahu wadiyan." Any person who has one valley of gold, they will want not one valley of gold, but they want two valleys of gold. Today you have one house, one property, we're not satisfied. We want 15 properties. When you have 15 properties, you feel like that I've gained 15, I can gain another 15. So whatever dunya we have, we always want more and more. What Hatim al-Asam said is that I realize that everything that we have today will eventually leave our hands. The only thing that will remain forever is with what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why he then recited, "Ma indakum yanfad wa ma indallahi baq." Subhanallah, what a beautiful verse of the Quran. Whatever we have, and this is why, think about it for a moment. I know that there are practices that take place within some certain families that, you know, people say that this is my parents' home. And this is something that happens often overseas. The same house that they are living in, probably their grandparents were living in that same house. But here in America, you know that people buy and sell houses very often. The houses that you and I, we are working so hard for. We take 30 years to sometimes pay off that mortgage and so forth. Think about it for a moment. In 50 years, probably 80 years, even 100 years for sure, that same house that today you and I, we are living in, someone else will be living in that same house. The car that you and I, we are driving, if we don't drive it into the ground, someone else will be driving that car. Whatever we have today is going to go in the hands of someone else. And this is why there's a hadith Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَقُولُ إِبْنَ آدَمْ مَالِي مَالِي. The son of Adam says, my wealth, my estate, my possession and so forth. But the only thing that truly belongs to the son of Adam is whatever he has ate and it has gone away. You understand? Whatever money he had, he spent it, that was his. Otherwise, whatever we have, think about it. Today, if you and I were to die today, all the money that we have, in our savings, our 401k, our IRA, and any other assets that we have, we work so hard for, is going to go in the hands of someone else. And this is the system. On the other hand, he's saying, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ. Whatever we have, whatever you have, will all come to an end. And it will go to the hands of someone else. The only thing that will remain with us, that will be part of our possession, is what we have sent forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Quran, that salat, that adab, that akhlaq, whatever good that we have done, that sadaqah jariyah, whatever we have done for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save that for us in the akhirah. That is the only thing that we can guarantee, and Allah can guarantee that we have worked hard for, and that investment will not go anywhere. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Whatever Allah has, it is better and it is everlasting. And this is the thing that, you know, the human being always thinks about. I don't want something that's going to be temporary. I want something that is long lasting. Whatever I want it to be for eternity. I don't like the temporary. If someone tells you, I'll give you a job, you know, this is a job, but it's a temporary job. On the other hand, I'll give you a job that is everlasting. Of course, any person who can think logically will say that you take the everlasting job. You take the long-lasting job. Everything in this dunya, we talk about long-lasting. We want things like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the focus should be is that whatever you do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what you should be worried about. That is the third thing. The fourth thing that he said was that in this dunya, people are after two things. They are after dignity, and they're after strength and power and authority. And he says that, I looked around and I observed that when it came to dignity, people will do whatever they can in order to achieve dignity. That means that a lot of times we would even walk over other people. We would take away other people's rights and deprive them of their rights. Why? Because I'm looking for dignity. He says that at times we will do things insincerely, without sincerity, because I'm looking for dignity. And subhanAllah, this is something that every single person wants. They want to be dignified. They want to be respected. No matter what happens at home, I may be the worst person at home, but in society, I'm going to come. I'll put another face on. Why? Because I want everyone around me to respect me. Or he says that people are looking for power and authority. And in order to achieve that power and authority, people will kill one another. You see what's happening, you know, subhanAllah, all over the world right now. People for the power, governments, in order to achieve power and strength and authority, what they will do? They will take money from other people, but not give them their rights. They will kill other people, and this is the standard and the norm in this day and age. Why? Because this is my way of gaining power and authority. To which Hatim al-Assam said that I then focused on the Quranic verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the most dignified person, people are looking for dignity, the most dignified person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has taqwa. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. This is what Hadam al-Assam is saying, is that Allah says in the Quran that we all have come from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different cultures, and so forth. Now, when people come together and they're coming from different backgrounds and so forth, of course, there's always going to be a sense of competition. There's going to be a sense of superiority. Who is superior? Who is inferior? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has leveled the playing field for everyone. It does not matter who you are. You could be Arab, you could be Ajam, you could be from here or there. It does not matter. The only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees is our taqwa. The more a person has taqwa, the more a person is dignified in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the entire world does not dignify a person, but Allah dignifies a person, that person is truly dignified. Who cares about the dunya and what the dunya will think of us and so forth? I've talked about this before. There's two things you can never control. What people are going to say about you and what people are going to think of you. If there's only one person or the one that we should be worried about what they think of us, It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole world can say this person is a terrible person. But if I know that I'm on the siratul mustaqim, if I know I'm doing things the right way, and if I know that deep down in my heart I'm doing things the right way to the extent that Allah will love me, and I'm following Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah, that's all that we need to be worried about. We need to be worried about Allah's opinion about us, not the world's opinion, because the world changes. What's today normal will become abnormal today. What is abnormal today will become normal tomorrow. This is the world that we live in. If there's one standard that does never ever change, is the standard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not say that today I want this and tomorrow I want this. This is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala functions. So he's basically saying is that I realize that the person, the most dignified person, is the person who has taqwa. And I also realized that if we want salvation, if we want to be safe in this dunya and in the akhirah, you have to truly believe in the Quran. And subhanAllah, if you study the history of the Quran, when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who they were before the Quran and who they were after the Quran, there is no book in human history. Let me make this very clear. There is no book in human history that was able to bring such a transformation the way the Quran was. And wallahi, I stand here and I don't care what anyone says in this dunya. If we're looking for the solution to all of our problems today in the world, it is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Quran as a timeless guidance. It does not matter. The Quran was revealed 1400 years ago. But even till today, the Quran is applicable. Until the day of judgment, the Quran is going to be applicable. And all the solutions to all of our problems are in the Quran. You have to sometimes wonder if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so many prophets, 124,000 prophets, and he sent 300 and something odd amount of anbiya and rasul. Think about it for a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all these prophets and all these anbiya and all these messengers. But if you look at the Quran, there's only a handful of stories amongst all of them. Probably a fraction. Think about it. Why do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned only those stories in the Quran? Because Allah knows that we are, as an ummah, these are the stories that we need to connect to. Allah could have brought, think about, I mean, sometimes we have to just sit down and think. Allah could have brought stories of the people of the past that their challenges might be irrelevant to us. Or their stories or their lives might be irrelevant to us. Allah brought only those stories in the Quran that are relevant to us. And every single story of every single prophet or even prophets, they all will find, you'll find some relevancy to what we are going through today. Is a timeless guidance. Finally, he says that I realize the fifth thing he said, and this is the last thing I'm going to finish with today is, he says that I realize that I found people demanding from each other when it comes to attaining this dunya, they will put each other down and they will disrespect each other. There will be envy towards each other. There will be hatred towards each other. And this is the dunya that today, subhanAllah, we live in. There's so much hatred, there's so much hasad, there's so much jealousy. Why? Because of what other people have. And he says, I realized, I focused on the Quran and I found a verse that helps me understand this. And he says, the Quranic verse is, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah is telling us, I have created a balanced system in this dunya. And I have divided everything of this dunya. In order for this dunya to function, in order for this dunya to operate, I've divided all the responsibilities amongst the people so we can have a balanced dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the love of these things differently of everyone. You might find one person who loves, like a doctor. They love to they studied anatomy physiology, for example. Every single doctor has studied anatomy physiology. They have studied science and so forth. But studying anatomy physiology, is everyone's cup of tea? No. There are some people who hate science. Some of the students are like, yeah, I hated science. Okay. They don't like science. They don't want to study anatomy, physiology. They don't want to study anything related to science. But then they are good at something else. And think about it. If every person was a doctor, who would do the IT jobs? who would do all the other jobs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about it, in every single sector of this dunya, no matter from the most dignified all the way to the bottom. And by the way, in this dunya and in our society, we always label this is a dignified job and this is not a dignified job. And I'll just say this one thing. A dignified job in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered as a halal income. You know, by the way, an Uber driver, that is still a dignified job in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the society, if you say, I'm an Uber driver, some people might look down on you. But if a person who works hard with their hands, and I say this to the youth all the time, don't worry about what kind of job you're doing. But if you're doing a halal job, I mean, Dawood alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Dawood alayhi salam, that he was a blacksmith. وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ He used to work with copper. At that time of Dawood alayhi salam, and not only that, but in many societies, in many civilizations, working with copper, working with, you know, metal and so forth, was not considered as a very dignified job. But Allah is telling us, that's not the criteria of a dignified job. If it's a halal job, you work hard for it, that's a dignified job in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is, so what he's saying is, I have divided everything amongst everyone. And I remember my teacher, when we were studying this ayah, he gave a very drastic example, but to help us understand, he says if every person was a mechanic, okay, if every person was a mechanic, who would take care of the health of people? And if every person was a doctor, then he says that who would go and do like the tough jobs in our society? Who would do the tough jobs in our society? You have a plumber, you tell someone, I'm a plumber, some people might, you know, might not look at that as a dignified job. But come the snow season, when all the pipes are blocked and there is leakages everywhere, the most demanding job is who? The plumber, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that I have, in order for this dunya to function, there are so many sectors and I've divided everyone into different sectors, subhanAllah. And that's why we have a balanced dunya in some capacity. So Sheikh Hatim al-Assam is saying that I realize that why are we so envious about others? Allah has given us a certain talent and every person has a certain talent. If we use that talent and we achieve our dunya, this is something that is already predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no need to be hating towards each other. There's no need to be jealous towards each other. Whatever Allah has destined for us, our qadr, that's all we're going to get. So these are three things that he mentioned. I mean, once again, there are eight things. I shared two things last time. Today I shared three more things. The remaining three things, inshallah, I will cover next week. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those whose hearts are always connected to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq that while we are living in this dunya, we can protect ourselves from the fitna of this dunya and our hearts are always remaining and connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.